Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
To all the brave souls out there who made it in this morning, we welcome you. Please fill out the fellowship folders at the end of your pews. Do you have any announcements, Pastor Mia? I know we're not having the Lenten lunch on Tuesday.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. By way of announcement, we are still deciding we will probably not have service next Sunday, but you will hear officially from us after the council meets on tomorrow, and we will work out all the logistics and let you know how we are going to move forward. So we'll try to make sure all of you are aware, and we will also post the information on social media. Amen.
Does anybody else have any announcements?
I'm just going to come up front so everybody can see me. I want to announce that at the dinner on Friday night, we want to thank everybody that came and helped, supported it. We did 365 dinners. Most of it was in takeout, of course. We had planned on doing another dinner this week, but after reflecting and thinking about it, we have decided to postpone the dinner. So we will hopefully do this again in May. Thank you very much, everybody, for understanding.
By way of announcement, there is food downstairs if you want to take it home. Amen. Let us center ourselves.
Thank you.
Please stand if you are able for our call to worship. If you are thirsty, you are in the right place.
Here in this house of prayer is an opportunity of the first kind, an opening into personal refreshment from the depths of the most profound love stream that we call God.
The God of Christ Jesus will quench the thirst of any who come here today in quiet expectation and open-hearted trust.
Therefore, blessed are those who thirst, for they shall be satisfied. In the name of Christ Jesus, we are all welcome. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I want you to repeat after me. God is here.
God is here.
God has come.
God has come.
And God cares for you and for me. So our topic this morning is, where do broken hearts go? And how many of you have ever had a broken heart? Am I the only one who's had a broken heart? I promise if you raise your hand, I will not call you out, Dan. Would you share? No, I'm kidding. Anybody? Okay, so there's one back there. There's a couple up here. Does anybody care to share? If not, I'll tell you all of my broken hearts, because I've had a lot. Does anybody care to share it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Extended on for a length of time.
Exactly. The death of his son. The majority of us have experienced the loss of someone close to us. And that, and like you said, there is an extension period. There's a healing. It's a process that takes a while. And if we don't go through it the correct way, it can really stunt our growth if we don't handle it correctly. Anybody else? I have a little journal now, and I decided to write down how many times my heart has been broken. And I remember when one of the biggest ones was when divorce. It wasn't that he left, but it was that my son left with him. Really, really hurt for a really long time. The separation is something, the loss of a loved one, financial situations, children falling on a different path than what we expected, that breaks our heart sometimes. Loss of a job or lack of. You ever wanted something really bad or a position really bad and you don't get it? It's heartbreaking. It overwhelms us. It crushes. So where do we go when we have a broken heart? Let's read the scripture. When I read the story, this is what came to me about this Samaritan woman. It doesn't talk about her broken heart, but along the way as I read it, I felt her brokenness. John 4, 7 through 24. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews don't associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you only knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you for a drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you don't even have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I don't have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you don't have a husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not even your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God's word for God's people. So my topic is where do broken hearts go? But if I was reading, this kind of jumped out to me. True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. So it's not about a building. It's not about a denomination. It's not about whether it's a hymn or contemporary song or praise song. It's about the spirit. It's about our hearts. And for the next couple of weeks, we don't know. It may not happen, it may. Well, we may get quarantined. We may not be able to come to church. Remember that the true worshiper worships in the heart. So if you want to have church at your house, just you and Jesus, or you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or you and Facebook, know that it's okay if you can't make it to 130 Genesee Street. Know that God accepts our worship when it comes from the heart. So where do broken hearts go? I often talk about my focus, which is the focus of the church. It's making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And so for the ministry of transformation, it must be built upon the premise of our hearts being healed by the love and the power of God. God is constantly trying to heal our hearts from whatever may have hurt us. Maybe someone rejected us. Maybe someone left us. Maybe a loved one is gone away. God is constantly trying to heal those hurts. Yet millions walk around not realizing that they even have a broken heart. Even if they do know, they shove the pain down. Yeah, my heart is hurting, but I gotta go to work. Yeah, my heart is hurting, but I gotta be strong. Yeah, my heart is hurting, but I got something that I can't stop. Or my heart is hurting, so I'll just take a pill. I'll just take a drink. I'll just do something to numb this pain because my heart is hurting. Some things are quick fix that don't really fix. That there's somebody that we can take our hurts to, no matter how big or how small. The Samaritans were a mixed race of people. They were considered to the Jews a lower class. And not only was this lady a Samaritan, but she was a woman. Not only was she a woman, she was considered a loose woman. Because she had five husbands, and not only she has somebody that is not even her husband. So when she comes to this well, she comes alone. Nobody is around. Because she knows when she can go get this water and nobody is there to shame or ostracize or look down on her. So she goes at noon because that's hot, the sun is out. Nobody wants to work when the sun is beaming down. So she knows. But the one thing I like about this woman is she has tenacity. She perseveres. She goes to this well every day to get the water that she needs. She goes there. She's planned it. She's strategized. I believe that every day that she went to that well and she wept and she cried, I believe that Jesus heard her. I believe that Jesus heard her cry because he hears all of our cries. He knows what's in our hearts. He hears us when nobody else hears us. He went alone and he said, I must need go through Samaria. Jews did not go through Samaria because that's like going in that neighborhood because that's where the drug dealers are. Jesus said, I hear my daughter calling me. I hear her crying and I see her going to this well that is not satisfying her. So I'm going to go and meet up with her. God meets us exactly where we are. So where do broken hearts go? They go to the well. The living water. The water that never, ever runs dry. And sometimes we got to dig deep. Because sometimes that hurt is more than a surface wound. We're wading in the water. We're getting a little sprinkle. But as we get older, we got to get deeper in the water, not just for us, because our children need to be deeper in the water, to be rooted in his word. Our neighbors need us. Our coworkers need us. So where do we go again? We go to this well. What is this well? This well is Jesus in his word. And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures and then we're going to leave. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. When you have a broken heart, you can give it all to God. 2 Corinthians 12:19 said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Isaiah 57:15, for this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and a holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This kind of rest isn't just a sleep. It's a kind of rest where you don't worry about things all the time. Rest is the kind of thing where you trust in God. Even when you're looking on the news and it looks like this coronavirus is coming in on us and what do I do? What do I do? Rest. If we get quarantined, turn on Netflix. Don't go buy all the toilet paper in the grocery. Get enough for you and your family alone. And if you have extra, give some to the neighbors. Don't hoard it. I would drive it to your house if you need some tissue, okay? Don't get all the milk. It's going to go bad. Just get enough. And remember, there are some people who are coming behind you who may really need it. He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds because that becomes a wound, just like any wound. And it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So how do we guard our hearts? Protect everything that comes in it. Watch what you're listening to, what you're watching, who you're around. Because some people, I have to say, whoa. Some shows on TV, some news stations. We might have to say, you know, I've heard enough for today. I'm going to turn it off and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to rest. We want you to be wise, but we don't want you to worry. Persevere in the face of difficulties. Like the woman at the well, she kept going. Even when you don't feel like going to sit in God's presence, go anyway. Those are the times you should really go. Spend some time with them during this, if we get locked down. Take that time, just talk to them. Talk to your family more. Call somebody you haven't called in a while. How many of you have a cell phone? It's supposed to help us to communicate more, right? I find that I talk less now to my family members with a cell phone than I did when I had just that regular phone with the cord and you had to sit right there with the... It was like I talked to them, even the texting sometimes. I used to talk more and I'm like, what happened to us talking? Follow what the Lord is leading you to do if you have a broken heart or whatever. He may say go to a counselor. He may say go to a therapist. He may say talk to Pastor Mia. He may say, talk to Steve, talk to Don. There's somebody in here that you can talk. Talk to your spouse. We should definitely not isolate ourselves. Like the woman at the well, she isolated herself, but Jesus saw her. Cultivate an atmosphere of community. Come to church. Go to Bible study. Go to Lions Club. Is that what you call it? Rotary, Lions, pick one. Go to Geneseo Church, go to Avon Church, go across the street. Just go. Make sure you're in an atmosphere of community. Keep your priorities high and do not compromise. Trust the Lord with rest and preach the gospel to yourself every day. Tell yourself, preach to yourself. God loves me. If you can't remember, God loves me. Yes, he loves me, little old me. Jesus called her out in private. He didn't shame her in front of all his peers. He had a one-on-one with her. This chapter demonstrates Jesus' love and understanding of people. His love for mankind involved no boundaries. He has no boundaries, for he is loving and compassionate. And he reached out to this woman who was a social outcast. In contrast to the limitations of human love, Christ exhibits the character of divine love that is undiscriminating and all-encompassing. He's all of us. Every person has a deep need to be loved, helped, and appreciated. Be the kind of person who brings value to others by loving, helping, appreciating those around us. Try seeing people through Jesus' eyes, their value. Like this woman, even though she had five husbands and a boyfriend, he saw some value in her. And when immediately she received that water, because it wasn't natural, it was spiritual, she didn't drink. She received it. Come and see them. And guess what? They were so thirsty, they was following her. They was following this lady that had five husbands and a wannabe. That's how thirsty the people are. People are thirsty. Their hearts are broken. And even though we sit and we have our nice clothes on and we have money and we have cars and we have houses, we still have a brokenness. Don't ever be deceived in thinking that just because we live in a certain neighborhood that we don't have problems. I see it all the time. I see CEOs and millionaires killing themselves, jumping off of bridges because there's something missing. They need that living water. We all need it, the rich and the poor. So let's repeat what we did in the beginning. God is here.
God is here.
God has come.
God has come.
God cares for me and you. So where do we take our broken hearts? To the well. And that is God, right? Amen. We come in the name of Jesus to thank you for the words that you spoke to each of us today, that you will take care of us. If we would just come to the well, if we would just come to you and give you all of our burdens so that we can be free to go out and to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to encourage our neighbors and our friends and our families for such a time as this. Remind us that this is just a test and that we will pass. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Where Do Broken Hearts Go? With Pastor Mia Richardson from March 15th, 2020. We've all faced some measure of heartbreak at one time or another. Where do we find help? Where do we go? We need to go to the well, alone or together, to get through the immediate challenges we face and whatever is to come.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.